Bar.
Hi, this is Jeff.
And Gretchen.
And you're listening to the This and That podcast with Jeff and Gretchen, show number 70.
Woo!
Hey, it's another earmark
milestone.
For us. Milestone, I mean. Not an earmark. I've been listening to the news too much.
I know.
It's been about a month that we've been gone, and boy, oh boy, a lot has happened.
A lot has happened. Woo!
Like what? I don't
like,
know.
Like a hurricane? Like three debates? Like 26 days till an election? Like, happy Yom Kippur, all our Jewish friends.
Oh, say it ain't so, Joe.
Oh, yeah, and that little worldwide financial crisis. That's sort of taking up everybody's time.
Yeah,
making
sure
us
is.
All feel bad.
Yeah.
Most of us are depressed about that. Did you know that?
Is that right? Has there been a study about
there's
depression?
There's been lots of studies, yeah.
Really?
Like 8 out of 10 Americans are worried. Really worried.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm not worried. Well, I'll tell you what. I think I'm lucky, and I think you are too. We're of the age group that if we've been investing for a while, you know, just for an exercise, I went through the S&P 500, looked at the charts just last week. I was kind of curious to say, okay, well, how is this doing long term? And
mm-hmm.
and it turns out that over the last 10 years, there has been basically zero growth, okay?
Mm.
It's been up and down,
right,
but basically
right.
zero growth.
Right.
But over the last 15 years... It's actually coming together at like still a 7% clip per year, which is about average.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've been a long-term investor, uh-oh, there's a cell phone going on. Is that mine? It's my cell phone. Sorry about that. Okay, we're back from the cell phone debacle. As I was saying, what was I saying? I was talking about the S&P. So the last 15 years, it's been at about a 7% clip. In the last 20 years, it was like an 8 or 9% clip. So if you've been lucky enough to be in a long-term investor, you can kind of look at it and say, hey, long-term,
okay.
We're okay.
Right.
There's probably some deals out there right now because
it
is low. Long-term, I'm okay. But imagine if you're a new investor.
Or imagine if you're about to retire.
Well, again, the thing about retirement is, and I always found this funny when I would go to these, Fidelity financial planning sessions, they'd always say, well, if you're 2 years away from retirement, you better have a lot of money in cash and bonds, right? But I'm thinking, well, yeah, you're retiring in 2 years, but that doesn't mean that you're using all your money at that set
That's
point,
true. Right?
You know? Sure, you need more of an annuity type thing.
You need
to
something
support.
Safer.
Sure, you need something safer, but you
right.
also need to invest in stocks because, you know, you're probably going to live till
90, maybe.
Yeah. So you still got a 40-year horizon, if you look at it that way, or a 30-year horizon.
If you're retiring in your 60s.
Right. Then you still could potentially have a 20-year horizon, and that begs stocks.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to balance that with the annuities that you need during your retirement age. Anyway, this isn't a financial planning session. But
okay, Jeff.
But so I do feel bad for the investors, and I was thinking about this. I have the investment psychology where I believe things go up and down, and it doesn't bother me that much. But that's because when I started investing, mostly it went up. I think so. I've seen the good years, and my money has still been positive over the long run. Like I say,
all right. Did you know this is October 9th? And did you know 2007 October 9th was Wall Street's all time high, and since 1 year.
Yeah.
It's lost one-third of its value.
Yeah.
One-third. The Dow's down 30%.
Well, thank you for bursting my bubble.
Okay.
I'm trying to look at it a different way.
But it is interesting that it's this date, and a couple of the financial sites this morning were talking about this is the anniversary of the all-time high of Wall Street.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And I've seen today.
So you're right. It's going to come back.
Up. Today it's up a little
right.
bit.
Right. It's going to come back.
Well, eventually, but I tell you, the thing about the bailout, and I don't think any of us are the economists to know whether that was the right thing or the wrong thing, but I really kind of hated the fact that Congress took the $700 billion and added $150 billion of pork.
I was going to talk about that, too.
Yeah.
It's the pork that's so interesting.
And I so badly wanted one of the questions at the last debate to be, hey, listen, Congress put in $150 million of pork.
Billion.
And, I'm sorry, billion. Yeah, sorry. I know. $150 million, it would nothing. Be round off error.
I know.
Yeah, billion in pork. And it said, this is the kind of thing that really makes us mad. And
right.
We know it was all done for political reasons to make people vote.
Right.
But what will you do as president? You all talk about these earmarks and right. how you hate them.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do about this, and why did you vote for the bill?
Well, they asked,
that's the question I would have liked to have heard.
Well, the article that I actually see where McCain was asked why he did vote for that, that included earmarks that he strongly opposes, and he said, I had to support the bill because the country was on the brink of economic disaster. There are plenty of other bills that I fought against and voted against because of pork, but that was one that he chose. That he had to let it go.
Yeah. And I can't fault that, I guess, but... Right. At the same time, how do we get rid of this?
Well, you want to talk about what some of it is? Because it's absolutely amazing what it was.
Yeah, I've got some of it.
The list of what it is that not all that many people made a big deal about, because it's so absolutely fascinating, the whole wooden arrows thing.
$6 million for the kids' wooden arrows.
Yeah, exactly.
What the hell?
Oregon's two senators are voting for the Oregon manufacture of wooden arrows for kids so that they can have tax breaks.
Right.
Over 10 years.
Right.
Oh, my Lord.
$192 million for the rum producers of
right.
Puerto Rico and Virgin Islands.
Right.
I can't say that's not important. It's alcohol.
Right.
It's
How
good.
About racetracks?
Yeah, $128 million for car racing tracks.
Uh-huh. So that they can depreciate their facilities over 7 years.
Yes.
Wool, imported yarn worth $148 million over 5 years. Reduces the tariffs that wool importers have to pay over
yeah.
5 years.
$10 million for small film and television production. Now, all this stuff, $10 million, again, it's kind of round-off error to the big amount.
Mm-hmm.
But it all... This is just the tip of the iceberg. It all adds up in these all little small things that probably every congressperson had their little pets.
Mm-hmm.
Mine safety equipment, Indian tribes, railroads.
Right.
District of Columbia. Yeah, you got wool research, American Samoa.
Mm-hmm.
Rum. I
don't... That's why it went from a 3-page memo mm-hmm. from Paulson
right.
to a 451-page bill.
Right. Yeah,
That's why it took 2 weeks.
I just noticed your t-shirt. Obama.
I'm
hey.
Wearing my Obama t-shirt. $12 donation.
All right. That's not bad.
Yeah, not bad. Get a free t-shirt. So.
He's all in dots, though. It's kind of a...
He is.
Yeah. What's up with that? Does he have, like, the measles? So do you still wish Hillary was the nominee?
Well, you know, I think that had the two of them joined forces, it would be a knockout punch right now. But we've got Sarah Palin on the, who's going to be the most popular Halloween character, by the way, if you heard that.
Well,
can't get a hold of the Sarah Palin mask.
I have heard that the Halloween masks before the election is a good bellwether.
Right.
And that Obama's selling pretty well. But I actually didn't hear that about the Sarah Palin.
Oh, Sarah Palin's. She's the big one now. So
yeah.
There you go.
That doesn't surprise me. And she's easy to parody. Tina Fey has done a fantastic job.
Mm-hmm.
And she naturally kind of has the look.
Mm-hmm.
Put on the glasses and it's pretty, pretty close. And then when she puts on the suits that look like her, gosh, she's really, really, really good. I think she's got to be hoping...
She doesn't want to play her much longer, she keeps saying.
Oh, she doesn't?
No, she wants it to stop. It's no secret who they're for.
It's kind of interesting. I thought, my gut was that the Palin thing would end up harming McCain's campaign over time more than it doing good. And I think I'm justified now.
Well,
I think that's what's happening.
Alaska investigation is going to come out, supposedly. So we'll see what happened.
With yeah.
And why was Todd Palin involved? He's an advisor.
Yeah.
I thought he was husband.
I know. I know.
Interesting.
But she did say something interesting in the debate. And she said, McCain picked her so that when she becomes vice president, she can focus on energy.
Yep.
And I did think in the back of my head, I thought, okay, I can see that. And she very well.
Drill, baby, drill.
May have energy expertise being in an energy state.
Producing state.
Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, even though I don't agree with her political views, I can see having a vice president kind of take one task up and mm-hmm. kind of make it theirs. And I'm okay with that, but I am not okay with her being president.
Well,
I mean, my God, and
being incoherent.
The international community
not able to speak.
The international community is aghast over it,
right?
And I'm aghast over it.
Don't we want people who are smarter than us?
I think that's the fundamental thing.
I think we do.
And McCain is smart, so you know, yeah, he's got different political views than I do, but at least he's presidential material. Let's face
right.
it, he is.
Right, absolutely.
There's no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
And anyways.
Yeah.
So,
what else is on your radar screen?
Well, I did want to, I think I just played for you my new song. So, talk about the financial crisis.
Really good.
Oh.
Everybody enjoy Jeff's song.
So, I'm going to play that right now.
Bail me out?
Bail me out. Okay, that was Bail Me Out. And basically, I'm starting, you know, to do some music again. I spent the last 3 weeks really learning my music software, Logic, a lot better. In fact, I was telling you before the show, it's like, gosh, I was doing really stupid stuff for producing this show that I could have done a lot
easier. So now it's going to get really good, everybody.
Well, no, it's probably going to be the same, but it's just going to make my job a little bit easier. I was just, the software is amazing. The functionality really is amazing. And I plan to do some more songs. So I have started, I've changed my website out a little bit to basically be a blog, you know, so you can subscribe to it. You can sign up an email list or whatever. And that's at jeffastrikemusic.com. I'll post a link on the show.
Because no one can spell your name. So that's
I know, exactly. But it'd be fun to have people kind of, you know, watching out. And the song's fun, and I'm sure I'll have some other fun songs. But I wanted to share some political views with you, since politics is kind of big in the center of
everything. Seems to be on everybody's mind these days.
I just have this unconventional view, and I've never heard it before. And it's in my gut. You know, we talk about government spending, and we talk about sort of trickle down or giving money to the consumers, like George Bush did with the handout.
Yeah.
As ways to get the economy going. And I think I read this. I remember studying macroeconomics in college, and I remember them saying that there are a lot of benefits to government spending. You know, it improves society, you get services and so forth, and it employs jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you take a real conservative ideological stance, you say, that's bad. You know, it all has to come from the free market. And if you take a real sort of, you know, that liberal government is good, you sort of say, well, you know, government's the big economic generator.
Mm-hmm.
My view is actually, I think, a little bit of both. There's a lot of dynamics in the marketplace, you know? And I actually think that that human beings react better to change than anything else. So I sort of like the idea of like 4 years of putting a lot of money in government spending, getting the economy going, getting certain services going, and then after 4 years, pulling it out, because unfortunately what happens is waste does happen. People get political. People get in their patterns,
mm-hmm.
and that innovation that can be spurred by, wow, we got this money, we got all these things we want to do,
mm-hmm.
that goes away a little bit, and it gets fat, and that's a criticism. And so I think, you know, every 4 years, I actually like to see a little bit of give and take. Okay, for this 4 years, we're going to emphasize government spending, and then we're going to pull it back, and for 4 years, we're going to emphasize bottom-up spending, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
I sort of think that's kind of how we got in the mess we're in right now, is that nobody could pull back. You know? Nobody can pull back. Even they're talking states and municipalities are outspending their budgets. In California, for example, is going to go, they're looking for a $7 billion handout.
Right.
They've overspent.
They're not looking for a handout. They're looking for a loan. They're just looking for a loan because they can't get money on the market.
Right. But even here in Dallas, I mean, look what happened to the Dallas School District. The Dallas School District can't balance its budget, and they had to lay off teachers.
School districts all over the country.
My sister is having the same problem
in Duluth, right. And I've heard it from all kinds
of
cities.
So do you really think that we would ever have the discipline to pull back?
I think
we can barely make it right now. I mean, assuming we could all get on one track, but I mean, with the entitlements that nobody's dealt with, which, you know, Medicare, Social Security, that are coming, where are we ever going to pull back? Because it just doesn't seem like we want to cut anything.
Right. I think it's possible. I think with strong leadership, I think it's possible. I still don't really understand why government can't be treated more with certain business processes. Mm-hmm. And those business processes being every year making sure it justifies itself. Not from a financial standpoint, because government programs aren't always just financial based. You can't measure an ROI. That's how it differs from a business. But do a benefit cost analysis of every program every year. You know, I assume they do this now, mm-hmm. you know, when they go and try to get their budgets. They need to justify why this agency wants $100 million more.
Right.
That better be a
good reason.
A good compelling reason. But clearly it's not done well enough. And I think that's because government bureaucrats get big and hefty and political.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't have all the answers. But my hunch is that a little bit of change every now and then probably stimulates the best and gets the best out of people, if we could implement something like that.
That's a possibility.
Yeah.
So,
the other thing I thought was funny was that there's big talk about the executive pay. Oh, mm-hmm. how can this guy get $50 million mm-hmm. after his company went bankrupt?
Right.
And Gretchen, that's all political. It's round off error in terms of money. It's not a problem at all. But people just get so outraged because they think about it. It's just very personal to them. But, you know, so it's an interesting thing. There's differences between political issues and actually real issues. That issue is not real at all. In fact, I actually take a very conservative view in that I think there should be absolutely no caps or restrictions on any salary or bonuses that a company wants to pay. They should be able to look at the marketplace and figure out what they need and what they need to pay for it.
There have been none, and I think that's why everybody's questioning why are these people walking away with a failed company and $50 to $100 million in bonuses. Like, I bank at WAMU.
And shame on the company, but you know, it's not a real problem, in my opinion.
Well, I don't know about that. I bank at WAMU. WAMU needed to be bailed out.
Right.
And after 3 weeks on the job, the CEO of WAMU made $11 million for 3 weeks.
Right.
You're saying more power to him. He got it written in. The shareholders approved it. But then again, I'm the little account holder at WAMU. I've been there for 15 years. And lo and behold, I don't think that's right. Three weeks on the job and he gets $11 million.
Why did they feel that they had to pay him $11 million for 3 years? Seems like a
three weeks. It was
seems
in
like
his
a
contract.
Really dumb business decision by them.
But, well, maybe that it wasn't. It was written that if any period of time, I don't know the exact details, but I know that he walked away from a disastrous bank that went under.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't. I don't know. It just doesn't seem fair. You seem like you reward business for successes and, you know, positive balance sheets.
Right.
But you shouldn't reward the person at the top for a red balance sheet.
Well, you know, my song Bail Me Out was played on two podcasts. I uploaded the song to this place called, I think it's Pod Safe Music, where you can just post your songs and people with podcasts know that they can play it for free.
Uh-huh.
You know, no rights, no royalties or anything like that. And don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, two podcasts played mine. One was called Dale Cast. He's does a pod-free music podcast out in England. And one is called The Scott Fuller Show. Scott Fuller, he played it on his show twice, two different shows.
Uh-huh.
And but it's very conservative. And he does a 10-minute, about two or three times a week, 10-minute commentary.
Uh-huh.
And he's actually very well-spoken.
Uh-huh.
A nice production of a podcast, kind of a short and to the point. But I disagree with most of his views. But he seems like a reasonable kind of character. But, of course, I'm biased because he played my song. But he said something about that that was interesting on his podcast. And he said, he's very conservative. And he's like, he's incensed that, mad that the conservative politicians won't stand up and say, not only no bailout, but, hey, you know, government needs to get off the back of the free market. The free market will reward and punish as a free market will. And I heard that and I thought, wow, you know, we definitely need to use the free market, that great dynamic of the free market in this society. But clearly, can't you see even now that the free market is not by itself, doesn't reward and punish the right people? You know, people that are being punished, a lot of people that are being punished for lenders that made really stupid loans and borrowers that really, I get a $500,000 house.
Right. Yeah,
they're making crap.
I make $25,000 and I'm getting a $500,000.
They're the ones that should be punished. And yet we're all being punished. So that's where it's wrong. That's where it is wrong, you know, and that's why there has to be sort of overseeing.
Right. I sort of think that the free market has gotten out of control with all the deregulation over the past, say, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it wasn't just the Republicans. I mean, Clinton did sign some laws that
have
repercussions.
And in fact, they said Clinton had one of his main
one of the last things he did.
Economist was a, you know, real anti-legislative.
And I think it started out with the right intentions, is to help more people and lower incomes to get houses. And now we're all paying for it.
Right. And, you know, this is fundamental to me. I have no problem with a little bit of experimenting with different economic theories.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but here's the key is in anything, experiment, observe, take the feedback and learn from it. But instead, we experiment and then we have ideologues that just say, well, we got to stay the course because they don't want to learn from the actual output to it. And I don't get that. And like, why wouldn't we learn from things?
Well, isn't it because the administrations change and there's really not a lot of continuity and you have to keep getting reelected and everything changes by law. It has to change.
Right.
And you can't have more than two terms. So.
Right. No, that's partially true.
There's not a ton of continuity. So,
yeah, yeah.
But anyhow, yeah. Any happy news? Anything good going on in the world?
Well, do you have $500,000 to spend this Christmas?
No.
Well.
What if I did, though?
If you did, you could go to the Neiman Marcus catalog. And buy the end zone of Cowboys Texas Stadium that's going away this year.
They're selling all the parts, aren't they? You can buy bleachers and everything.
Yes, for $500,000, you get the end zone, which is kind of weird, really. But what that includes is not only installation of, like, the AstroTurf. I don't really know where they would install it. It's kind of unclear to me.
You got to have a big yard.
Yes. So you get the installation of the AstroTurf, and you also get a tailgate party in your backyard with the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. So I might fork up the money just for that.
You could put it in your front yard, Jeff. People
yes,
could drive by.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody go, there's the guy who bought the end zone.
I could put goalposts up.
From the Neiman Marcus catalog.
And you also get a luxury seat for one game. Also in the Neiman Marcus edition is a 2009 limited edition BMW Individual 7 Series for $160,000. His and her life-size Lego statues made in your likeness. $60,000. A titanium fighter motorcycle for $110,000. And an authentic Guinness home pub for $250,000.
Oh, my Lord.
So
wow,
yeah.
Well, even Neiman's supposed to have a tough Christmas. They're buckling down.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Retail's not going to be all that happy Christmas for retailers out there.
I guess that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Hey, have you been to the fair? You know, the Texas State Fair is going on.
I know. I haven't been yet. Not sure if I'm going. Have you gone?
No, haven't gone. I certainly have had my share, but I thought I would talk about what the fair is known for.
I don't go every year. I go every maybe 3 years or so, something like that, you know?
Well, the Big Tex Choice Awards were awarded, and the 45 foods were submitted for this year's competition. And as you know, it is big on deep frying.
Deep fried? It's usually a new deep fried
dish of
some sort.
It is a new deep fried concoction. So the 8 finalists this year were the All-American Fried Grilled Cheese Sandwich, Chicken Fried Bacon.
Oh, my God. You think that's healthy?
The Fried Banana Split.
Wow.
Texas Fried Jelly Bellies. When they were rolled in funnel cake batter and fried, and then you got to guess the flavor when you popped them in your mouth.
I do love the funnel cake.
Deep fried s'mores. Mm-mm.
Mm.
Fried chocolate truffles. Mm-mm-mm.
And
chocolate covered strawberry waffle balls. Fresh strawberries covered in thick chocolate shell dipped in a waffle batter and deep fried, then dusted with powdered sugar.
Wow.
And fire and ice, which was a pineapple ring that was battered, deep fried, topped with banana flavored whipped cream that's been frozen in liquid nitrogen. So it was smoky when you eat it.
Interesting.
It's a smoky concoction.
Interesting.
Anyhow, the ones that won best taste was chicken fried bacon.
Really?
And the most creative was the fried banana split.
Huh.
So those are the winners of this
year's fair. I would have thought the most
fair.
Creative would be that hot and cold.
Yeah, the fire and ice.
Fire and
yeah.
ice.
That, well, that guy's won for the past 3 years and he was really hoping to win again, but he didn't.
It's kind of cool eating
something
smoky. It
was kind of cool, yeah. Yeah, with the liquid nitrogen that kids would really, really enjoy. So
I'll bet you're down for that.
I think I'm on my way to the fried jelly
fried
bellies.
Bacon.
Fried jelly bellies.
You don't like meat.
Mm-mm.
I'm surprised the bacon won the best taste. I wouldn't have thought that would taste very good. People like their bacon.
I can't imagine. Yeah, I think so. And then fry it on top of everything else.
Oh, man. Mm-mm. Man.
Great.
Well, you know, I've tried. I mean, in previous state fairs, I've tried some of the deep fried new things just to try them.
Right.
Like a deep fried Twinkie.
Yep.
Deep fried Oreo. I tried those.
The deep fried Coke. That was last year.
I didn't go last year. I didn't try that one. But for me, it's fun to have a bite. I don't want the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, they're always just too sweet for me.
Yeah, they're disgusting.
Yeah, they're pretty disgusting. But having a bite is kind of fun to see what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the key there is to go with a group of people where you can all share.
Everybody
a bite.
Can try all the stuff. Right,
right, right.
You can
right.
try all 8 of the finalists.
I do like the funnel cake, and I'll tell you, I've never been a corn dog fan.
No,
never. But for some reason, those corn dogs at the state fair really taste good. You know, when I had one, because people were like, oh, I got to try this corn dog. Got to have one of these corn dogs. I was like, corn dogs are so boring and blah. But then I realized finally why the corn dog is actually a pretty good food item. They're unbelievable there.
Why?
I don't know.
The mystery ingredient
maybe
in the corn dog.
Maybe because they're real and maybe because I've just always had like, you know, frozen corn mm-hmm. dogs or something. I don't know.
Right.
But it's not like I crave them, but.
There you go.
Normally when I go there, I get the funnel cake because I love that so much. And the sausage on a stick because, you know, I love sausage.
Well, you might have to try the chicken fried bacon if you decide to go this year.
Yeah, if I go, mm-hmm. I will do that.
There you go.
So that's a fun thing that's going on. I wonder how their attendance is this year, you know, with the economics. It'd be kind of interesting to see what the result will be.
I heard a family of four went and it cost $300 and they weren't over lavish. It's, you know, they were moderate. They didn't overspend, but they just, you know, every kid got, you know, to ride a ride and get some food, but $300. Yeah. And I've heard that the vendors who are selling their wares are having a really hard time. Nobody buying.
You know, when the economy gets better and you know how they're doing all that construction down there for the new DART mm-hmm. station, which is just a mess right now. It's been a mess for the last 2 years. But once they get the DART station and the economy gets better, I think that'll be a really nice boom for a state fair and other activities down there. Because how nice would it be to hop on the train from your suburban home to get to Fair Park?
Right.
You know, and not have to drive and schlep through the highways and the parking.
Mm-hmm.
Parking is just a real pain down there.
Right. And expensive too, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't remember. But yeah, I'm sure it is. It always is. Mm-hmm. I went to a concert down there at, the name keeps changing, Super Pages.
Yeah.
I guess it's called now.
Right. Superpages.com.
It's our outdoor amphitheater venue, and the parking was like $15. I couldn't believe it. It was kind of like, I don't remember what the tickets were, but I want to say the tickets were like 40 and the parking was 15.
Yeah.
They paid paradise and put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? They paid paradise and put up a parking lot. They took all the trees and put them in a tree museum. Well, I thought an interesting thing, back to a little bit of politics. And I meant to look this up before the show, and doggone it, I forgot. I was too busy brushing my teeth, so for Gretchen, because we are doing a morning show.
Nice,
didn't want to have morning breath. But there was a Obama and McCain. Obama actually has 60% of Americans who go to church once or twice a month, but McCain is leading people who go to church every week. Now, what's interesting about that is this article is titled "That Evangelicals Back McCain," while other religious voters go for Obama.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't the way 4 years ago. Kerry did not get those monthly churchgoers.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So, but what's interesting is they call people who go to weekly religious service as evangelical, and that's what I meant to look up.
No.
I'm not sure what the definition of evangelical is, but I would never have thought that somebody who goes to a weekly service. I know lots of people who go to weekly service that I would definitely not term as evangelical. Maybe that's because I don't know the definition.
I always thought it was somebody who insists on sharing their religion.
Oh, kind of evangelizing.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought it meant.
There go the word.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe so. But to me, that does not define. So I think this article is a bit misleading in the sense of the definition of evangelical. I think I see the evangelical. You're probably right. That's probably where it comes from. And towards that end, it probably means somebody that's just a little bit more extreme or maybe incorporates religion into their life.
Their
daily life a little bit more than normal.
Right.
I don't know. But.
And speaking of religion, have you seen Religulous?
Yes, I did see it.
Yes, wasn't it funny?
I mean, you know, I'm biased because I think Bill Maher is very, very good, very funny. And, you know, if I have to put my real hat on, I have to criticize the movie in the sense that he really didn't talk to a huge plethora of religious scholars that could have, you know, made suitable academic arguments to him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, he did kind of like the Borat thing, who was directed by the same people. He talked to people who basically was fairly easy to lampoon. And so that was the criticism. But right.
Which he did a nice job.
Which he did a nice job in his. And I really think, though, that the movie was meant more to be a comedy. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he's trying to make a point of, and he does this on his HBO show, too, is in that, you know, let's take religion.
Keep religion out of government.
Keep religion out of government.
Right.
If you have your views and if it makes you a better person, great.
But religion should not be part of the government. And, you know, he talked to a senator about that, which he really lampooned. I think one of the other points, too, was extremism in any religion is really dangerous.
Right.
No matter which one it is. And I wish he had explored some of the other religions more. I thought he was actually going to talk about all religions, but he touched on maybe four or five.
I saw an interview where they asked him, why didn't you take any of the Eastern religions?
Right, yeah, Buddhism or
And he said, you know, we only had so much time and we made a very conscious decision just not to go, not to go there. Because mostly those aren't that infiltrated in America. This is a movie about America.
Right. That's true.
So we made a conscious decision and he goes, hey, I'm not qualified to make a movie about that. But
I don't think the Islam presentation was particularly one-sided. But
no,
I mean, I thought it was particularly one-sided.
No, I agree.
And I wish it had been a little fairer.
Yeah,
because
I agree.
I think he could have made his point and been a little fairer. But
yeah,
I thought it was. I thought it was pretty. It's very entertaining, and he merely asked questions, which everybody's allowed to ask questions, especially in our country, where you know it's one of our rights is we're allowed to ask questions, and then the fever that the objections he got just for asking questions, I thought was really pretty interesting. What's the problem with asking questions? And most people are so ignorant anyhow.
I think that's the thing. People take their faith blindly, and he was kind of...
And nobody can question it because they're offended that he's even going down that path. Well, you know, what's wrong with asking a question? I mean, if your religion can't hold up to a couple people asking a couple legitimate questions. The questions I thought were very legitimate.
The craziest interview was with that Roman
Rabbi.
Catholic. No, I thought it was with the Roman Catholic...
Astronomer? No, the Roman Catholic priest.
He was like
outside the Vatican.
He was like a big honcho in the Vatican.
Yeah.
And he was like... He kind of made fun of the stories himself. He's in, and you know, I think that was so interesting because I've always kind of felt that the stories are stories, but that doesn't, in my mind, make them not important. I think there are important metaphors for things that are to be learned out there, but.
Right.
Jonah and the whale and Noah and the ark. I mean, let's just not take them literally.
And the Garden of Eden.
And the Garden
of
Eden.
Talking snake.
Yeah. Talking snake.
But I did think it was interesting the story about Egypt. In 2,500 years before, there was a very identical story.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought that was...
Not only was there one, there was many.
Oh, the identical story of Christ, basically.
I think it's quite clear, and I know people will hate hearing this, but Jesus was invented after he died. No doubt that this is this great prophet walking around, named Jesus, whatever. But his legend was invented after he died, and all these stories that was an amalgamation of many different stories that had come before.
Right.
Everything about it.
Right.
They made him to make a religion. People just don't want to hear that, but I know, I'm sure that's what happened.
The first couple hundred years, though, believers were persecuted. I mean, not that they haven't been, but I mean, it was really hard to get it going. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
Oh, yeah.
But it was good. It's entertaining.
Interesting on the same study about the religion and the politics.
Uh-huh.
They said the demographics really are changing. They said, for example, white evangelicals, again, as they define it, I'm not sure, between the ages of 18 and 35, still strongly oppose abortion rights, but are far less conservative than older evangelicals about same-sex marriage and are definitely more supportive of active government, providing services and so forth. In fact, they said about 50% of the young religious people are okay with gay marriage.
Hmm.
It's very, very...
Boy, that is really unusual.
Very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because actually, one of the shows interviewed some people at the Republican convention, and when they talked about family values and what that really meant to them, they almost all inevitably said small town heterosexual. That was like the second thing out of their mouth is family values had to be heterosexual. You couldn't have a family with homosexuals or lesbians. You could only have a family with heterosexuals. So,
you know, I think it's one of those things where if you don't see homosexuals in your daily life, you're scared of them. You know, I do. It's what you don't see.
Yeah, if you don't
it's
have like friends who are, if you don't have...
When you're white
you
and you haven't
friends
been...
Who are.
Right, and if you're white, if you haven't seen black people and you're 30 years old, mm-hmm. you know, you're scared of the unknown right. or whatever, you right. know, that's what happens. Yeah. But this is the other statistic I was looking for. 71% of people that were voting said that it's important for public officials to be comfortable talking about religious values. 71%, which is kind of what Bill Maher's theme is, keep it away right, from, yeah, exactly. from public life.
Because he was saying, what, there's 14 million agnostics and atheists in the United
yes.
States, and that they don't have a voice, whereas
right.
there's much smaller groups that have voices.
Right.
What were some of the ones he used?
Well, he's using some of the minorities.
Yeah.
Blacks,
right. There's what, 12
Asians
million blacks?
And Hispanics.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I mean, they have voices, but
people
yeah.
with disabilities.
An agnostic or an atheist doesn't have a voice in the government.
Right.
Which, that is an interesting point.
It's just so people get their feathers riled, riled
right.
up over that. They're,
right.
if, I don't
and
know.
And the founding fathers, as he pointed out, wanted nothing to do with religion.
Right. No.
I mean, anything to do with
they
government.
They believe really strongly right. that it should be away
should
from
be
government.
It should be completely separate.
It's mm-hmm. completely separate because they were a product of societies right. that had that.
Right.
They saw the dangers of it. And, you know, of course they were religious people. And they were. They just didn't believe it belonged in the public sector.
Mm-hmm. Hey, your favorite magazine, PC World, has come out with the 50 greatest gadgets over the past 50 years.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And I actually thought it was interesting, and I'm not a gadget person.
Right.
I was actually I'm not a huge gadget person,
but I like my Apple gadgets.
Right, right. So they decided that the stuff that they couldn't live without, they wanted to list the top gadgets. They had to be relatively small devices, considered those items whose digital descendants were covered in their magazine, like no blenders, but cameras, yes, but no blenders.
Okay.
You know, and each gadget was rated on usefulness, design, degree of innovation, and influence of subsequent gadgets, as well as the cool factor.
Okay.
So they listed 50, but the number, well, here.
Trying to go for a little bit of a historical import
yes,
as well.
Yes, yes. For 50 years, you know, like our life has changed tremendously, and how has it changed,
mm-hmm.
and what's changed it. Number 10 was a transistor radio, the Regency radio. Put it in your pocket. That was from 1954.
Yeah.
A Polaroid land camera from 1972.
Now, what's the Polaroid land camera? Is that the one that develops right instantly?
Yeah, that was a Polaroid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty. See it there, right there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, remember
that.
It? Very
yep.
pretty.
Yeah.
Yep. Uh-huh. And some people still use them, they said.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Atari video computer system from 1977.
Yeah.
The old Atari system.
Yeah.
The Motorola StarTAC, which was actually the phone that looked like something that came out of Star Trek.
Yes.
Beam me up, Scotty.
When you see some old movies and people on cell phones, they got
right.
these big old honking
things.
Thing, so
right.
kind of funny.
TiVo and Replay, that tied.
Wow.
Because it changed the way nobody wants to look at commercials. Basically,
right,
that's what it was saying.
Right.
Palm Pilot, the Apple iPod was number two.
Yeah.
And number one was the Sony Walkman from 1979.
How about that?
Isn't that amazing? It debuted, and nobody had ever seen anything like it. It cost $200. It was the invention of personal electronics. And at the time, Sony was afraid that people would be too isolated, so they actually made it with two headphone jacks so you could share the music with a friend. And then
how
later
about
it dropped that?
That
feature. So 25 years later and 330 million units sold, nobody wonders why you're walking down the street with headphones on because of the Sony Walkman. Isn't
yeah.
that cool?
No,
I thought
I agree.
That was kind of fun. I remember when first seeing them, like, oh, I remember my first one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I put the cassette in there. Woo.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
That was
hot,
high
man.
Tech. I remember buying cassettes.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, buying cassettes of, like, you know, albums.
Uh-huh.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, did you see what happened in Dallas a couple days ago? This salesman went for a drive. Took a customer out for a drive, and the customer ended up freaking out and calling him calling himself the Antichrist and calling the salesman possessed and threw him out of the passenger door at on Central around Forest at 50 miles an hour, and the guy died.
No, I didn't see that. That's horrible.
They interviewed him afterwards, and the guy said he didn't seem to have any remorse. He's got a history of mental illness. Aww. Surprise, surprise. He said, I told him to repent if he wanted to save his soul. He said at that point, the guy cursed him and jumped out of the moving vehicle. I don't think that was true. But he said he was miraculously lifted from the truck. It wasn't my fault. He was possessed.
Oh, my goodness.
People who knew the salesman guy said, hey, this is just a nice guy. Yeah, he was Christian, but he was a nice guy. So probably, you know, hopefully.
Don't think he jumped out of the truck on his own, huh?
No, I don't think so. And of course, the law doesn't think so either. But apparently, and I heard this morning, apparently there is a video of this. So, yeah, this big controversy, you know, should the public see that? Should the family see that? And all this kind of stuff. I didn't have time to validate that.
Wow.
So, but I don't know why there would be a video. Apparently, there were some eyewitnesses that saw him, you know, go out of the car.
Wow.
They couldn't tell if he was pushed or jumped.
Wow.
But, I mean, maybe he jumped if the guy was threatening him somehow. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you'd think the guy would have to have a weapon of some sort, right?
Right. So boy, oh boy, if you're looking for a car and you go to your salesman and say, I want to take a test drive, you know, and you get some eyebrows raised, you know.
Wow.
That's so sad.
No. Hey, we have a birthday coming up.
Oh, who's?
A big one. Barbara Millicent Roberts is turning 50.
Oh, I'm having so much fun.
Who's that?
You know who Barbara Millicent Roberts is?
No.
Oh, I love you, Ken.
You might know her as Barbie.
I'm a Barbie girl in the Barbie.
That's her name?
That's her full name. She is 6 months shy of turning 50. Do you believe our little cultural icon, Barbie, is going to be 50 soon? And she's taking on some eye-opening new roles. She's going to be a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader and a scantily clad superhero.
At 50?
At 50. And she's going to...
That's awesome. She must keep herself up pretty well.
She does. She gets a lot of makeovers. She's going to get married in a Vera Wang wedding dress, and she's going to be starring in Grease. This is all coming out in her 50th anniversary year.
How is she going to star in Grease? What does that mean?
Oh, I think she's going to be Barbie as Grease, as the lead in Grease, as the living in genre.
Right.
All right. So she shows no sign of slowing down. The very first Barbies are now selling for $8,000. So if you have one that's 50 years old in good condition, they're worth $8,000. She's still big business. She sells two Barbies are sold every second. That's 120 a minute.
Wow.
7,200 every hour of every day. It's a $1.5 billion a year industry for Mattel. And Mattel did win the lawsuit against Bratz. So they're currently in litigation about how much they're going to get.
Right.
But anyhow, so she's been everything over the years. She's been an anti-feminist icon. She's supposedly caused eating disorders. She came under attack when she had the phrase, math class is tough. Remember that?
Yeah.
When she told girls that math was tough. Right. So now she got a new body image in 1997. She got a wider waist, a little healthier image. And she's universally loved and no signs of slowing down. So happy 50th, Barbie.
So is Barbie as popular internationally?
Yeah, actually, she's all over the world. There are certain countries where she's not allowed to be, though.
Right.
There are Muslim countries that don't want anything having to do with her, and they've got their own version of her, which is usually modestly dressed and really unattractive.
Right.
But Barbie is
the ultimate
capitalist, and she's got her whole, you know, family, all her friends, and she owns everything. She's got everything. So
it's a beautiful
everything
thing
a girl could want. That's Barbie.
She's got Ken.
She's got Ken and a bunch of other guys too. So
yeah, she does.
She does.
Well, you were coming in here this morning kind of sneezing a little bit and saying you might have some allergies.
I do.
I actually brought some allergy information in here.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, fall is the worst time for allergies. Spring is bad, but fall is the worst season. And I've got a list of the top 12 cities for allergies. Because when I moved to Dallas, people would tell me, oh, yeah, this is the worst city. But, but Dallas doesn't make the top 12. Number one is Greensboro, North Carolina. Two is Greenville, South Carolina. I have a sister in Greenville. Three, Little Rock, Arkansas. Four, Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina. You're seeing a trend here.
Yeah.
5, Jackson, Mississippi. 6, Knoxville, Tennessee. Then you got Grand Rapids, Michigan, Wichita, Kansas, Oklahoma City, Madison, Tulsa, and Chattanooga.
Wow. Really concentrated in the southeast.
Now, a lot of it is in the sort of the south, mid-Atlantic area.
Uh-huh.
Some little tips if you guys are suffering from allergies. These seem like kind of no-brainers, but I'll go through them anyway. Control these symptoms. There are several things to do. Outdoor allergies can be mitigated by staying indoors.
Surprise!
When pollen counts, wind and humidity are especially high, and when indoors or inside a vehicle, keep the windows closed. After spending necessary time outdoors, take a shower. Indoor allergies, they said cleaning is the key. Wash bedding, towels, dust surfaces, vacuum, maintain a clean air conditioning filter.
Ideally have somebody do all that for you, because
yeah.
That doesn't sound like that would be particularly good while you're doing it.
No, even I,
who, to death.
I'll tell you what, even I, who knock on wood, isn't particularly afflicted by allergies, if I'm doing anything that has to do with, like, you know,
house cleaning,
cleaning some dust around, I start sneezing.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. But the best advice, they say by far, if you're having problems, is to seek the consultation of healthcare professionals to properly diagnose one's allergies. So, there you go.
Wow.
Yep.
Huh. Well, I'm glad I don't live in one of those states.
Yeah, no kidding. But it's bad here in Dallas, too, I think.
Hey, you know our buddy Angela Merkel? Remember her?
Remind me.
German chancellor.
Oh, yeah.
She's topped Forbes magazine.
Likes back rubs from Bush.
That's right. List of the 100 most powerful women for the third year in a row. I think that's just amazing.
Wait, she tops the list?
She tops the list. She's the most powerful woman in the world for the third year in a row. The Forbes magazine list of most 100 powerful women. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice slipped to 7th. She was 4th last year. Ms. Merkel is actually very popular in Germany right now.
Really?
She's turning the German economy around, trying to make them more important in the EU.
So do you know, like, her stance politically? Like, is she more right or more left?
I think she says her mind. I'm not sure if they've characterized her that way, because she comes out and she criticizes, like, Zimbabwe's president, Robert Mugabe. She's tried to make the euro a bigger player. She's met with the Dalai Lama. They say she bulldozes through controversy, so I'm not sure she really cares what people think. But
she's a Sarah Palin of Germany.
Well, I think she's smart, though.
Except she's smart.
I think she's smart, yeah. And there were some other leaders that I didn't even realize it. Argentina has a female president. Chile has a female president. Hillary Rodham Clinton was number 28. Nancy Pelosi is number 35. Oprah Winfrey is number 36. Philippines have a female president who's 41. And Laura Bush is number 44. So I thought that was interesting.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. What about Michelle Obama?
Not yet. Probably, yeah. If they win, she'll be on it next year.
Yeah, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Kind of cool that we have leaders that are around the world that are female.
Female, yeah.
You know?
And that you don't think about it, but, you know, making big progress.
Yeah. And if you think about it, you know, it's really remarkable. Back when we were kids, Golda Meir of Israel,
right,
you know, had such a powerful position.
And Israel's
in the Middle East.
just turned 60. They're having a 60th anniversary
right
celebration.
Right behind Barbie. So they kind of led the path by 10 years for Barbie.
There you go. Wonder if Barbie will be a Golda Meir doll. Barbie is Golda Meir.
Yeah. A Yiddish Barbie.
Yeah.
Ay, Yentel.
Oh, man.
Well, did you see that we must listen, because when the government talks, we must listen. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services came out with a new guideline for exercise. Previous recommendations were for healthy adults to have 30 minutes daily of moderate activity. Now they've shaken it up a little bit. It's now recommended that adults should do at least 2.5 hours a week of moderately intense physical activity, such as brisk walking, or 1 hour and 15 minutes of vigorously intense jogging, swimming, laps, or other aerobic activity. Combination of the two is best. They said any session must be at least 10 minutes to raise the heartbeat long enough to get some benefits for it. But they also added that adults should do, and I've always said this because I've always realized this is part of a well-rounded fitness program, adults should do muscle strengthening exercise 2 or more days a week. It doesn't have to be weightlifting, but sure, they certainly say free weights, resistance machines, push-ups, pull-ups, even carrying heavy loads or heavy gardening, you know, will provide a lot of that. Combining strength exercises with 5 or more hours of intense, moderately intense, or 2.5 hours of vigorously intense aerobic will provide even more health benefits. Duh. I mean, sure, the more you do, the better you're going to get. I imagine there's some limits. But they also added, and they never had this before, they also said children and adolescents. They added some criteria for them. And this is interesting. Children and adolescents should do 1 hour or more of moderate to vigorous activity each day.
Holy cow.
Vigorous activities are advised at least 3 times a week, and bone strengthening exercises such as running or jump roping should be included. Sit-ups, push-ups, climbing trees are among muscle strengthening activities that could be included in the exercise program.
Wow.
So that's very interesting. And the reason they say that is because children have this real need for muscle and bone strengthening as they develop.
As they grow, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, so I have something right along the lines of that.
Yeah.
There's a new trend out there called treadmills for tots.
Really?
Yes. And it's very controversial because
we didn't plan this, folks.
America's kids are getting overweight at an alarming rate. You know, 16% of children are obese and 15% more are overweight.
Right.
So last year, the toy industry, which is what I think the real criticism is the toy industry has developed exercise equipment for children. There's kid-sized gym and kid gyms popping up in elementary and middle schools on both coasts, and now some adult gyms are even offering kids' gyms within the same facility.
Can I just say, as a kid, I never would have wanted to be on a
treadmill
machine.
Oh, can you imagine?
Come on.
Right. They say the child-sized equipment can get kids moving and teach a healthy habit. But exercise and child psychiatry experts say it's the wrong age, the wrong reason, and it's doing more harm than good, which is exactly what you were saying.
When I was a kid, I felt like I got a lot of exercise. A, we had gym class.
Right.
But B, we just played.
Played, exactly. And that's what the criticism is that it play helps toys are supposed to act as a catalyst for play, and play is what helps kids work out what's bothering them.
We ran around, we biked, I mean, we played.
Right.
We played hard.
Instead of workout equipment, some of these psychiatrists recommend social games like tag, ball games,
exactly,
or capture the flag. There's a lot of psychological merit in those games. Kids need to play, they need to have fun, they need to build relationships. So working out on an elliptical is very isolating for a child.
Yes. And they're not going to stick with it. Come on.
Yeah.
It's hard enough for
that's what they said.
That.
With a single piece of equipment, it's not going to have long-term appeal.
Right.
But on the flip side, some people have said, a group of gym instructors has started a fitness center where they're saying that there's a lot of kids who don't get anything out of gym class because only, you know, a small percentage are engaged and the rest are sometimes standing there not doing anything.
Right.
Some kids are intimidated. They're actually trying to do exertainment, which is combining, it's this new genre where, for example, there's a smart cycle from Fisher Price that you hook up to the TV, and the TV only moves when you're cycling. So you get the entertainment only when your legs are moving the pedals, right?
Oh, that's funny.
So, but for some kids who have, you know, some isolation problems, or if it's too hot, like they talked to some people in Phoenix that say you can't go outside and play certain days of the year.
Right.
So it's not such a bad idea to have kid-sized gym equipment that hook up to video games or have other kids exercising at the same
place. Right,
right. Or maybe kids who are autistic who have trouble communicating and don't fit into social sports can still say they're going to the gym and getting some exercise.
Gotcha. Interesting.
So, yeah, it's here, you want to see some of the pictures?
Yes.
They're brightly colored, aren't they cute?
See, I get to see the pictures.
That's right. You don't get to see the pictures, but
oh my God.
Isn't that amazing?
I'll put this on the website. It's too funny.
Yeah, it is. So $99 for that. So there you go.
Wow. Hot Christmas item.
There you go. Yeah,
I think so. Either that or the end zones.
Yeah,
maybe combine that with the AstroTurf from the end zone.
Yeah. Well, I have one more thing.
Okay.
Hey,
I got your stuff.
Do you have Do you have a guilty pleasure that you don't like to tell anybody about?
Sure. I don't know if I have any guilty pleasures that I don't want to tell people about, but yeah, I mean, I will definitely every now and then go out and get a pint of Ben and Jerry's. Yeah, and that's a guilty pleasure that I love.
Pleasure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I'm a healthy guy. I eat healthy.
Right.
But I sure do love that.
I think you do have mine. The one that I was going to talk about was I like to watch The Girls Next Door, which is the one about the 3 Playboy Playmates that live at Hugh Hefner's mansion. Right?
Oh.
Okay. It's a series on E.
I didn't know that. Okay.
It's called The Girls Next Door. But one of the girls, his number one girlfriend, Holly, has left.
I just heard that this morning.
Yeah, so they've
split. And he's all broken up about
it.
He's only got two more cotties.
He has two more girls. Yeah, Kendra and Bridget are still there. They still live in the mansion. And there's a whole line of girls outside that want to, you know, want to come in.
Right.
So, but he told Holly that 6 months ago that they were never going to have children or get married. And so she told him. Well, I guess she didn't maybe tell him specifically, but she's telling the press that it's over. And I guess she has just moved out. So it's in its fifth season on E! Entertainment. And if you really just want to watch a train wreck, it's really just one of those things that you can't believe you're watching it.
What's the name of it again?
The Girls Next Door.
All right.
So there you go.
That's good to know. Maybe I'll TiVo that and take a look. I don't know if I'd get addicted to it, but...
Yeah, no, it's usually on Saturday afternoons and you just go, wow, there's a theme here and they're actually, we're going to follow them. And no, I don't know. They go to Vegas for his birthday or they'll go to Monte Carlo or they have some kind of event at the mansion and
right.
you just watch the three of them interact and... You know, so.
Well, I've been watching Heroes.
Okay.
And you know, they're in their third season, and it's not a great show. But what it is because it never really makes sense. You never really know what's going on. The only thing that keeps it floating around are the mini stories that, you know, sort of, I should say, just the little short-term mini stories that are interesting. The long-term, high level, you have no idea what's going on, and I don't think the directors really know. They just... you know, futz through it. Maybe there's a grand plan. I don't think so. But it's very stylistically done and entertaining. You just have to sort of throw away the notion that you're really going to understand what the heck is going on. So I enjoy it. It's kind of a guilty pleasure because every time I watch the show, I said, this is just the stupidest show. But
but I'm still watching.
But I enjoy the little mini stories, you know? You know?
Oh.
So that's kind of fun. And, no, I don't think I have any other guilty pleasures.
Well.
So speaking about guilty pleasures, we've had an hour of guilty pleasure here.
That's right, we have.
And we need to get on with our lives.
Well, you're probably tired of hearing us, too.
Yes, probably so. Oh, your workout's done. You're probably at the gym listening to us.
That's right.
Because we are...
And you know you need those 2.5 hours a week, so back.
Yep, that's right.
Back. Moderate exercise.
That's right. All right, folks, so have a great great month or great 2 weeks. Well, who knows when we'll do this again.
And hum along to Bail Me Out.
Yes. Yes. Go to my website and subscribe. I'll have new songs coming out soon. All right. Bye,
all right,
y'all.
Bye.